So let's talk about Paul's parting words. You know, the parting words of Paul in these closing verses reveal, I think, great advice on life and in ministry. And it brings up a question that it popped up in my mind as I began to read this and look at it. And the question, are you a flexible person? Are you a flexible person? Now, I don't mean physically. You know, some people are triple and double and everything jointed. I'm not talking about that. Are you flexible in life? Do you bend with the circumstances? Do you adapt to the circumstances, to situations that you're confronted with every day? I think all of us like to say we're flexible, but the real test comes when things go opposite of what we intended them to go, what we expected. We expected something and it went exactly opposite, not in a good way. All of us, I think, have breaking points too. All of us have breaking points. I've seen some very calm people. Boom, they pop. Some point they pop. All of us pop at some point. You're in a crisis. Someone brings the proverb to you, well, when life gives you lemons, why don't you make lemonade? You don't want to hear those people at that point, you know, especially early in the morning. It's not what you want to hear, especially when things are going terribly south in your life. How about the days when everything you touch fails? I've had a few of those lately. I am a repairman by trade. I repair things. You break it, I fix it. And there's days where everything I touch is worse. It makes it worse, and that happens to all of us. Now, I find it interesting. If we circled the room today, everybody here in the room, all of us speaking, we could pinpoint one thing that happens to each one of us that can set off that chain reaction in our lives. You know, where it becomes difficult to flex with the situation. Even those that are easygoing, they have those tipping points. It's easy to blame the devil when things go sour, but what happens when you recognize that God has allowed this particular adversity in your life? That he has allowed it for purposes, for his purposes. I don't know if you guys, this ever happened to you, when things go terribly wrong in a day, not disastrous on that heavy scale, but everything just goes chaotic. At one point, you just start laughing. You guys ever have that? You know that the Lord is dealing with us. The Lord has something for us. And you kind of just smile and kind of laugh to yourself. Now, you're going to appreciate Paul's advice in this last chapter. Paul is closing out the letter he wrote to the church at Corinth. He is passing out life lessons he learned from the front lines that he's been involved in the missionary outreach that he has. So our title today is Parting Words, obviously this the last verses in this book. And I want to talk about small talk in the Bible. I want to talk about opportunity. I want to talk about adversity. And I want to talk about helping hands. That's my outline today in the rest of this chapter. And it's verses 5 through 24 we're going to look at. What about the small talk? When we begin to look at the rest of the chapter, it just seems like small talk, chit-chat that Paul is conveying. Simple parting words to the Corinthians. But never underestimate the power of God's word, even when it seems very incidental. There's things you go through some of the books in the Bible, and you hit those genealogies, one person after another, after another, after another, and you think, I can't even pronounce their names. You hit it. But there's uniqueness in all of that. God has plans in everything. He wrote this book as he directed it toward people inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is unique is that the more you dig into the gold, the more rich it gets. The more rich it gets. You don't just read over. I mean, there's times when I just read. I just like to read, just going about it. But then there's times where I dig. And then you'd be surprised what you find in the Bible. In Paul's parting words, we see a revealing pattern of ministry that unfolds in the life of Paul. He's going to give them some of the examples that he's gone through. Now, I want to touch on a few things in these patterns because I think it would help improve our own serve. Verse 5, now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. You see that in Acts chapter 18 through 20, the history of that. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. One of the interesting things I noticed about Paul reading in Acts and then in the epistles itself, he remained very flexible in his ministry and life. Look at verse 7. It says, if the Lord permits. You guys ever think about that in your own life? You want to do this, you want to do that. If the Lord permits. James, in his epistle, says the same thing, and I'll paraphrase it. Don't say you're going to go do this or go do that. Say, if the Lord wills. That's what, you don't have control over it. In Proverbs, there's a unique verse in chapter 16, verse 9. It says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So we can have our plans, our high plans, and then God detours us, right? God detours us. We're talking about flexibility here. Paul lived those words in his missionary travels. One of the times when Paul purposed to go into Asia, the Holy Spirit forbade him to preach in Asia at the time. And instead sent a vision to him and redirected him to Europe. That would have been Greece. That would have been Corinth, by the way. Eventually going up in the northern part of Greece, going south, hitting Corinth eventually, and establishing this very church. Eventually he preached in Asia. And if you remember, well, he's in Ephesus right now, which is in Asia. Asia being Turkey, modern Turkey at the time, or today. So to be led by the Spirit of God allows flexibility in your life. Not to have set ways that you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Because what happens? You get frustrated. You know, you think, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And you just get frustrated. He says, now, I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. I'm going to read that again. That it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. So I'm just reading that again. Okay, here's what I noticed, though, in verse 5, 6, and 7. I might stay. I might spend the winter with you. I hope to stay the winter with you if the Lord permits. So he's flexible in his, you know, flexibility is extremely important in our lives. You cannot control the circumstance. That's a fallacy. That's a lie, really. You cannot control life. I've witnessed those who attempt to control the circumstances will eventually try to control people. That's just a fact. And you know what? That always ends on a bad note. Always ends on a bad note. I've asked more than once, okay, hey, Dan, what's your 5-year plan for the church? To be perfectly honest, I don't even have a 5-minute plan. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or what's going to happen next week. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't plan. We should plan. But don't be frustrated when God circumvents you to another plan. I have no idea what's going to happen a year down the road. Now, you don't unravel your... Let me back up for a second. You don't unravel if your plans do not work out. That's what I want to say. You just don't unravel. Sure, all of us would want everything to be, I don't know people in here, but I love things neat and tidy, you know, in order. I love it. But it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. It hasn't happened in my many years of life, and I'm a little bit older than most of you guys. And it's not going to happen in the future either. It's not going to be perfect. Do you guys ever hear that term, roll with the punches, right? That's a boxing term. In boxing, it's called rolling with the punches when a boxer, not having time to avoid a hit, deliberately moves with the punch so it's not a devastating blow to him. He learns how to roll with the punches. And we roll with the punches by being flexible in ministry, flexible in our lives, because we want God to lead us. We want God to lead us. Now, he goes on in verse 8, but I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. He's there in Ephesus right now. That ancient city is just ruins now, but it's in the middle, it's on the shore of the Aegean Sea, or a little bit inward into Turkey. He's going to stay there until Pentecost. Ephesus was an incredible city. I mean, it was, we got the third picture from the left there, that's Ephesus, and then the far one where we're being preached to by Chuck Smith, actually, is that's Ephesus there. But it was second to Rome, really. It was an incredible city. So he says, I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. You know, following the lead of the Holy Spirit, it provides unexpected opportunity. Opportunity you wouldn't even predict. Better said, flexibility allows us to take advantage of opportunity when that comes along. If you're flexible in your spirit, and if you're flexible in your walk and in your life, when the punches do come, you can roll with them and look at them as opportunities. Opportunities provided to us by God. I hate to say, but a lot of our opportunities are provided by God in the midst of adversity, trials. It's always happening like that. Paul knew how to take advantage of opportunity. You know, we have in our lifetime a certain amount of opportunity that crosses our path. I have missed opportunities in my life where maybe I didn't take advantage of that. You know, and you kind of regret, I should have done it that way, I should have done it this way. But we have those opportunities that come into our lives that we can miss, but we can take advantage of those things at the same time. We need to recognize and then take advantage of the opportunities that are presented before us, and often they're presented before us in adversity. They happen that way. It's just the way God works. You know, when things go crazy, I often want to ask the questions. Sometimes it involves people. I ask questions about this person or that person or what are they doing. Sometimes it involves circumstances and that familiar question, right? Why? Right? Why? We all got that why question. But I have found, and this is my life and I believe it bears in Scripture, I have found there's only one question that you need to ask, and the one that is sensible: Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? No matter what the circumstances are, what kind of people, this or that, situations, good and bad, Lord, what are you doing in this? Do you ever ask that question? Lord, what are you doing in this? Because that's the only thing important, is what God is doing in our lives. What God is doing is the only thing that really matters. Paul mentions a great and effective door has opened to him. So he's going to stay put until Pentecost. He wants to see how the opportunity pans out. Often, what seems to be an absolute mess is often the opportunity God has for us. And God has this amazing ability to use the very worst things. And I could sit down with a cup of coffee. Well, five cups of coffee, because I have so many of those in my life where it started out wrong and it ended up so right. God is he's a miracle in doing that. But he has an amazing ability to use the very worst things in our life to turn into great opportunities. We need to be looking for that. But two words here that I think are important. Flexibility, right? And then faith. You got to have faith. Flexibility to bend with the circumstances. Faith to trust God that he is, like Romans says, working all things together for the good. You know, when Romans speaks about that, that he's working all things together for the good to those that love God and are called according to his purposes, when he speaks about that, he means the good, and you know, we'll do a Clint Eastwood here, the good, bad, and ugly, right? Everything, that whole mix together, the good things in your life, the bad things in your life, the ugly things in your life, he is able to make that into a flower. He's able to make that beautiful. Flexibility to bend with the circumstances, and faith to trust God that he's working all things together for the good. And the rule can be applied to even the worst circumstance you're ever going to run into in your life. So that's opportunity. We need to talk about adversity. Paul is not blind to the fact that with opportunity always comes adversity. And I speak spiritual opportunities. When God presents a spiritual opportunity, you have an enemy that will come against you. It's amazing to me when you sit down to pray, all the interruptions that happen. It's amazing to me when you put your heart towards something that God wants you to do, all the adversity happens in your life. And there is a devil, and he is against us, and he hates the people of God, and he hates Jesus, he hates God, and he's, well, look at the world today. This is what he's created. He's created a world that is just all mixed up and violent. So you got to remember, we're in a spiritual war, and we have a real enemy that fights against us. And keep this in mind. To spot opportunity is a learned spiritual trait. It's something you learn. There's times where I missed opportunities because I didn't recognize it. But it is something, as you grow in the Lord, as you go through your trials and God brings you through those things, and as he matures you, you learn to recognize opportunity. And to expect adversity in opportunity, it's a must. They go hand in hand. They go one with the other. I have on my desk at home a gift from a friend, a small statue of the Roman of a Roman soldier's armor. And the scriptures out of the Ephesians on taking up the whole armor of God. And it constantly reminds me when I'm working that the battle never ends. The battle only ends when we're with God in heaven. That's the battle. We're going to have battles all our life. And when I look at that little statue, I think, I mustn't let up. I must keep my shield of faith up. I must keep the sword of the word. You know what? It's worth reading this because it's so wonderful. It says, finally, my brethren, this is out of Ephesians. Take a little side track here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. He says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. That little statue I have has got the perfect picture. It's got the armor, and you can read it here. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's on the chest, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all things, taking the shield of faith, which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray and always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. As for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So it's interesting. Opportunity will always bring you adversity. It will always bring you adversity. Then our next section, I titled it Helping Hands. And he says in verse 10, and if Timothy comes, now Timothy was a young man, and Paul picked him up He actually picked him up in Asia. If Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I do also. Timothy was a very timid young man. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. We don't know where Timothy is at this point, but he's evidently passing through Corinth. He says, now concerning our brother Apollos. Now these guys, Apollos was mentioned back in the early part of 1 Corinthians, where he for a while taught the Corinthians. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urge him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. So we got these two guys, Timothy and Apollos. You know, we recognize opportunities. We're always aware of the adversities, but you got to know this. You cannot do it alone. You cannot do it alone. You need other people around you. The pastor, I need other people around me. I need the brethren around me. I have my wife. I need to have other people around me. Here, Paul recommends two of the people that could help the Corinthian church, this Timothy and Apollos. You know, one of the greatest reliefs in ministry to me when I began to recognize I can't do this by myself. I can't even, you need the Holy Spirit. But you need people around you. You need good people around you. We need each other. And God has anointed others to carry the load. You know, I thank God for my brothers and sisters. Timothy and Apollos, they can help you. Paul also recognizes the working of the Holy Spirit in others. You know, we need to be able to trust. Some of the problems that we have with people is that we think we know the motives. A lot of times, do you ever notice the shy person sometimes is recognized as being just pushed off or he's aloof or anything like that? He's a shy person. And he doesn't interact with people. So it's hard to question people's motives. Paul recognized the working of the Holy Spirit in others. He identifies Timothy in verse 10. He says, Timothy's focus is on the Lord. He says, for he does the work of the Lord as also I do. And he urges the Corinthians to receive him. I also find it interesting in verse 12 that he strongly recommends to Apollos that he visits the Corinthian church, but Apollos at the moment was not willing to come. And what is interesting about that is Paul is relaxed in Apollos' decision. He's relaxed. He wanted him to come, but okay, I trust the Lord in you. You got some other things going on. This is important to be able to trust God and other people. What is interesting about that is Paul is relaxed in the decision and that he will visit Corinth at a convenient time. So we need to be able to trust the Holy Spirit in each other. It's so important. It's so encouraging when people receive me, or and I see it receiving each other, with that trust, with that ability. You got to walk with the Lord. I got to walk with the Lord. You got to walk with the Lord. Wonderful walk with the Lord. You know, God's path in my life is not the same as your path. And we need to recognize that we do need each other in the work of the Lord, in life itself, and we need to trust God's Holy Spirit in each one of us. Paul also gives a few more parting principles of ministry, and he says this, watch. These are good words. Watch. Stand fast. That means don't move. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. And let all that you do be done with love. So be watchful, or to be alert is the best way spiritually, or best to say, hey, stay awake, stand fast in the faith, or to be stationary, standing firm. The New King James says, be brave, but the original translation of the Old King James is, I think it's much better. He says, act like men. I like that. Act like men. And that's not a macho thing. It means to be mature men in the Lord. or to be strong or to be strengthened. I always like the beginning of Joshua, where God encourages Israel before they go into the land, be strong, be courageous. You guys remember that, be strong. And finally, though, he says, though, be loving. I'll tell you what, there is no room in ministry for ego. No room at all. There's no room in ministry for proudness. You know, we're to be humble. What do we have that God hasn't given us? We're to be no ego. And I'll tell you what, God's love, you get God's love into your heart, it tempers everything we do with our hands and with our voice and with our actions. He says also, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. This is that you also submit to such, and to everyone who works and labors with us. So one of the early works in Corinth, Paul is baptizing the household of Stephanas. They were the first fruits, or the first to respond to the gospel. And you can see that back in Acts. And look at verse 15, the word devoted. An interesting translation would be that of the household of Stephanas being the first fruits of Achaia. In the King James, it says, they're addicted to the ministry of the saints. That's a good one, to be addicted. I mean, if you're going to be addicted, you might as well be addicted to something good, right? Be addicted to the ministry of the saints. And I find it a joy when I see people finally catching on to the work of the ministry. They kind of dive in. That light bulb goes off in their head, and they understand that every Christian has a ministry. Every Christian has the ability and the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be involved in ministry. And they become addicted to the work of the ministry. And they can never go back to plain Jane, right? They don't go back to plain Jane. Once they cross over, there's no turning back. These are the people you want to hang around with, the good people of God. I'm also glad that the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied. So these guys also being in the fellowship at Corinth, for they refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge such men. They traveled to Ephesus and they refreshed them, right? They refreshed them. People that have devoted themselves to ministry and to the service of the saints are men and women of very deep wells. They have deep wells. And they had that water to give out. Just hanging around with them, you're refreshed. And Paul acknowledges that these three just came a breath of fresh air when they came to visit me at Ephesus. What they did is they brought to Paul what the Holy Spirit had brought in their own lives. That's refreshment. When I give to you guys, or I give to an individual or a person, or someone gives to me what the Holy Spirit, it's like drinking cold water. It's just cold, ice cold water, because it's a refreshment and it's an encouragement. I like that word, right? Refreshments. It's a good word. It's a good word. And I speak spiritually here, kind of like it both ways, you know, with the food, but refreshments are good. It's a good word. Finally, he gives this salutation here. The Church of Asia greets you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. So evidently there's a couple things going on in Ephesus, but Priscilla and Aquila are with Paul in Ephesus. They have fruit back in Corinth. When Paul came to Corinth, they met. Aquila and Priscilla, they're a married couple. They met in Corinth. And I like this. They greet you heartily in the Lord, right? That's, I mean, the good heart. These two have enthusiasm for the Lord's work and I think a love for the people of God. And they're holding church in their home. That's how it all started. They held their church in their homes. And they're teaching, they're serving the brethren. And the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The salutation with my own hand Paul's. Now, whenever Paul started this, way back in, you know, we got 16 chapters, chapter 1, we find out that he dictates a lot of the books, but this one he signed with his own hand. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. So, parting words. It's pretty good little ending of the book. We looked at that small talk. Never think of anything in the Bible as chit-chat or small talk. We talked about opportunity and adversity. We talked about helping hands. You know, this book really did start out to be a scolding from Paul to the Corinthian church because they were off kilter. They were not on the right path. But it turned out to be a teaching of joy for Corinth. Now, I want to close off with what we started with, beginning with that flexibility in your walk, that flexibility in your life, not just in ministry, but you, to be flexible. Not to be, I say this all the time to people, don't be controlled by your emotions and especially your circumstances. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's the best way, to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. He puts stuff in us that we're able to respond in the right way. And sometimes adversity is opportunities in disguise. We talked about that. This means that we're not to be reactive to people or situations. When I first became a pastor, I had another pastor, and I didn't recognize it at the time, gave me the best advice ever in ministry. He just said, don't be reactive. And it really has become so important in my life, not to be reactive to circumstances. Now, I'm not saying I don't. I still do from time to time, but it's better and better and better as I grow in the Lord. We best let God play it out. I mean, that's the best advice I can give. When God allows circumstances in our life, we need to put distance from our reaction and just trust him. You guys ever remember that thing where they gave advice to people with horrible tempers? Count to 10 before you react, right? 1, 2, and then, you know, you hit 10 and hope in the process that you're going to calm down. I think that's pretty good advice. Now, I'm not talking about counting. You know, we don't count to 10. We trust, okay? We don't react. We trust. We wait. We remain flexible to the will of the Holy Spirit. And then we look to God for opportunities. Expecting adversity. We wait on the Lord to work all things together for the good. That's honestly, it was some of the best advice I ever got. Don't be reactive. Watch. This is in verse 13. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. So, amen.